was a mighty nation, blessed above all of creation. It was a rare and precious pearl, conceived in faith and liberty, home of the brave, land of the free. It was the envy of the world. But this shining city on a hill has turned from the Creator's will and let evil take control. Now the reckless men who lead them want to strip away their freedom and to steal their very soul. Now it's smoke and mirrors, switching bait, criticize and confiscate, and let the guilty walk away. In this once righteous, godly nation, in the halls of education, they forbid a child to pray. They say we need to spread the wealth. They pretend to guard the health of the feeble and the poor, while the hand they hold behind their back confuses and conceals the fact that the wolf is at the door. There's an unseen hand that pulls the string and makes his little puppets dance to every song he sings. As the night folds in on a rising tide, look beyond the shadows, behold a pale horse ride.
Welcome, my friends. Welcome back to Resurrect the Republic. This is Eric, the Freedom Screamer, sitting in for Tom and Lori. We're going to try to get Lori on the line tonight. We're not sure if she's going to be joining us, but meanwhile, I've been asked to fill in, so here I am. Thanks for joining us on Resurrect the Republic once again. Sitting in for Tom, who's still languishing in jail with no bail hearing. And we encourage people once again. I'm going to start off the show with the phone blitz for Tom. This is his radio program, or his radio show. And I want to read the number to people in case they have not called yet, or in case they haven't called in the last few days. Call U.S. Attorney General Jeff Sessions on behalf of Tom LaCavara. Tom is in Lane County, Oregon, L-A-N-E, Lane. And his ID number is 392-3405. Let's not forget about Tom. Tom is a political prisoner. Tom is an abductee. He's a kidnapping victim. He's been kidnapped by his government on an absurd allegation of a victimless charge, victimless accusation. I hate to use the word charge. A charge is something that you bill somebody for monetarily. You're either accused of something or you're not. This is why the courts have it locked up in a lie. Instead of being accused of something, we're being charged. Tom is being charged. Charge is nothing more than a commercial case. Tom's being looked at as a fiduciary instrument, literally, because don't forget, every case, including Tom's, is bonded, and the courts earn all kinds of interest on the bond. It's called a performance and payment bond. So, please call the U.S. Attorney General at 202-514-2000. Let's not forget about Tom. Keep Tom in your prayers. Keep Tom in your chores and your activism. The phone calls make a difference. If they feel the pressure, they will drop the cases against people like Tom, at least the federal cases. The state charges in Nevada are up to the states. A little more difficult for the U.S. Attorney General to drop a state case. It's not in their jurisdiction. But we can put pressure on the state courts. And in Nevada, I believe it's Judge Paraguayer, Sheriff Lombardo, and the Vicar General is Robert Stokig, S-T-O-E-K-I-G, Stokig. And those are the three people to call on behalf of anybody in Nevada. If you want to do phone support to the three entities in Nevada that would have the most influence over the case, it would be the Chief Administrative Judge, Paraguayer, Sheriff Lombardo, who's the sheriff of that county, and he's either not his authority as the chief peace officer, or exercising it perfectly in a very wrong and unlawful fashion. So once again, keep Tom in your prayers. Keep up the phone calls for Tom to the U.S. Attorney General. They're the ones who can drop the case overnight. We don't forget about the vicars and the sheriff who are holding Tom, but right now it's up to the U.S. Attorney General, and this should be a real no-brainer. dropped that case. Tom didn't hurt anybody. He didn't possess anything. He was sitting in a hotel room. Let him go. Of course, letting Tom go would mean we'd have some one more liberty-loving reporter on the scene in Nevada and or Oregon. Speaking of that, we'll try to get John Lamb on the phone tonight because absent Tom, John Lamb is doing an excellent job and covering both matters. If Chris in Las Vegas feels like calling in and giving us an update, if he was anywhere near the courthouse or if he heard anything today, I like to get the reports, the feedback from people on the ground, right there, direct calls. And if I can't get that, I'm not. The stuff that comes through the news wires and even in the alternative media is always slanted or jaded or some way unreliable. So I like the reporter on the scene, such as John Lamb or Chris in Las Vegas. Either of those gentlemen want to join us with an update, that'd be great. Mike, if you want to try John Lamb, we'll see. Whenever we can pull him in, we will. So, once again, this is Eric the Freedom Screamer on Resurrect the Republic on the RBN Network. Thank you for joining us tonight. The normal host for this show, Tom LaCavara, is sitting in jail as an abductee, a political prisoner, just like they do in China or in Nazi Germany, where they hold people on their political beliefs. They make something up to make it palatable to the general public. Oh, you wouldn't want those felons owning firearms. Well, or possessing firearms. He didn't possess anything. And he already did his repayment to society long ago, and has had a nice clean life as a radio talk show host here on Resurrect the Republic. And now he's an abductee of he's a political prisoner and a persecuted patriot. So keep Tom in your prayers. Once again, this show stands on Psalms 94:16. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity?
There was a mighty nation, blessed above all of creation. It was a rare and precious pearl, conceived in faith and liberty, home of the brave, land of the free. It was the envy of the world. But this shining city on a hill has turned from the Creator's will and let evil take control. Now the reckless men who lead them want to strip away their freedom.
Welcome back, my friends. Welcome back. We had a little quick break there. We do have John Lamb coming up. I just wanted to repeat my scripture that this show stands on, and it's Psalms 94:16. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? That is a call to activism. It is a call to do more than just sit around and focus on the beautiful things. But I'll tell you one beautiful thing is the beautiful patriot, John Lamb, who's covering the matters in Oregon and Nevada. John, are you with us?
I am. I'm here.
Oh, how so you doing? Good to have you. Thank you. Thank you. Great. Thank you for the updates. I appreciate you being here with us. Let's get right into it. What have you observed over the last day or so?
Well, we ended up not having court yesterday on Monday. It being a holiday, they took off. But we did have court today. So today was a pretty big day, pretty eventful day. A lot of good things happening here. We here in Portland, Oregon is where I'm at. We had the trial officially started the day with the jurors officially sworn in, and then opening arguments from the government, which lasted about 30 minutes. And then we actually had opening arguments from each one of the four defendants today. And then to finish up the day, we brought in, the government brought in, I should say, brought in their first witness in this case. And we haven't finished with this witness yet. That will be finished up tomorrow, but we did get the witness up on the stand. So I got to say that the opening arguments from the government lasted about 30 minutes, and pretty much they just recapped the very first case that we had back in, you know, September, October, where we got the not guilty. They mainly brought up Ammon Bundy, trying to prove that, you know, in their opening statements, trying to leave it in the juror's mind that he, this was a leader and he conspired with all these other guys and brought them all to the refuge and just kind of setting the stage work and recapping the whole first trial is pretty much what the prosecutors did. And so it wasn't a strong opening argument. I mean, one of the jurors even fell asleep during these open arguments. So it's kind of, it wasn't interesting. they wasn't even following him. We opened up on the, what's that?
You go ahead, finish up. I mean, go ahead, keep going. Yeah. And then I wanted to just ask you quickly, do you think the jury saw through that, what the government was painting to be an unrealistic, unreasonable, irrational picture of, you know, some kind of terrorist group? Do you think they saw through that and realized what was going on?
I think, before the day is over with, the jurors definitely have been seeing through it. At first, they were kind of like shocked how the government brought this opening argument, and they were bringing up Ammon Bundy and Ryan Payne and John Richtimer, which none of these guys even brought up Blaine Cooper. None of these guys are on trial. Them are not the guys that are on trial right now. And so they were bringing up people's names that these jurors are going to get to know throughout the trial, obviously, because these guys were there, but they're not the ones on trial. So they're saying how these guys conspired and then these other people come in and it doesn't really matter if they knew each other and this and that. They conspired to do this, and they're trying to prove a case against Ammon Bundy again. And that's how they at least have started their opening arguments up. So it was very lame, it wasn't realistic at all. It wasn't trying to prove anything against these four defendants. So we was very pleased at how they did it. It just wasn't what we expected at all. They've proven in both cases so far that they don't have any evidence. There's no evidence that these guys ever conspired to impede the jobs of any federal officers or employees. That's the main case they have against these guys, and there is no case. So it's
looking
awesome.
It's okay, good. Well, it's sounding like the government is trying to paint a picture of guilt by association rather than guilt
by
action or you know, criminal intent with criminal intent. So, and you're right. Where in the whole, even if you were to believe that, you know, the government has jurisdiction in this and there might have been, where did they actually impede? I mean, if that's all they're being charged with, the whole charge is absurd.
Yeah, their largest charge, you know, they have a gun charge, but their felony charges stem from, conspiracy to impede federal officers. If that charge of conspiracy gets dropped, automatically the gun charges get dropped. That's what the judge set for the rules of this charge. So, because they have a right to carry guns. That was admitted today in court. These men have a right, but not to impede or to keep officers from doing their jobs. If they're found guilty of that, the gun charge, it will stick also. So that's what we found out last time in the case. The jurors said they could not find any evidence that these guys intentionally went in to impede Fish and Wildlife and BLM officers. That was not their intention. They didn't go there to do that. So we're going to get another not guilty here. I feel very confident of it. These jurors are very observant. We've got a couple on the stand, on the jurors there that are literally leaning forward in their seats listening to these defendant stories. We have these four opening arguments. Jason Patrick, he's one of the defendants that led off this opening arguments for the defendants. Two of the jurors literally had tears in their eyes, and I've seen this twice now in the last couple of weeks. We've seen this happen in Nevada over there, where jurors were brought to tears during opening arguments, and the same thing happened again today. And pretty emotional, pretty amazing opening arguments, pretty powerful. And just tell them the truth, getting out there and saying, here's why we went there. We went there because we seen a rancher that that cows were burnt. Cows were being killed by the BLM, and this rancher was being, his life was being destroyed because he was sent to prison as a criminal and charged as an arsonist, when he didn't even, that should be for somebody that actually burnt down somebody's house, you would think, or maybe the BLM should have been charged with that when they burnt thousands of acres and burnt people's ranches. But you're charging a rancher and sending him to prison for 5 years for just burning some sage? It doesn't sound very logical, there. And jurors were brought to tears on hearing that story.
It's absolutely horrible, and it's evil. They're destroying the witch's court, and its enforcement henchmen are destroying people's lives. This is no small matter. This is not just politics. This isn't. This is a big deal. This is where the lives get destroyed, is in the witch's court. I've watched this time and time again, and it's looking like Oregon is really turning out to be its usual pretty hip political self, which is, I noticed in Oregon, whether people on the left and on the right of the typical political spectrum, none of them trust the government. None of them like anything the police state. They always turn down fluoride in the water. This is also very telling, and I would say it's not unrelated. Portland is two things. It's the largest city, I think, in the country not to have any Walmarts. They only allow small businesses or mediums, no Walmarts is banned from the city limits. And also the second thing that was pretty cool was the no fluoride. Every year it comes up again. The insane doctors and professors and government henchmen in the local government, always every year they try to introduce fluoride into the water, and they're always unsuccessful. Every year the city of Portland votes it down, no fluoride. And fluoride, we know, is a neurotoxin that puts people in kind of a obedient mentality. It's not just for your teeth, people. It's actually affects your neurology and your neurotransmitters in your brain. And literally dumbs people down. It's part of the chemical attack on people to keep them submissive. And so anyway, I think it's not unrelated that Portland still has no fluoride in the water, and it sounds like they're really interested in paying attention to this case. And that's a good sign. That can only be a good sign, because when the truth is said and justice be done, these guys should walk.
Exactly. That's what we had an awesome day with all four of these opening arguments. The first witness was his name is Greg Britzinger, and he's the head of FBI in the state of Oregon. So he's the top FBI agent in the whole state of Oregon. He's been with the FBI for 22 years. The prosecutors put him on the witness stand and asked him questions for about 30, 40 minutes, and then the defense has started asking him questions. One of the main things that they were questioning him at the end of the day was about the informants that were at the refuge and what involvement he had in the shooting and murder of Lavoy Finicum. And concerning the informants, he confirmed again on the stand today, and this is the head of the FBI, this isn't Oregon State Police, this isn't another informant, this is the head of the FBI. He's the guy that was in charge in Burns, Oregon, during the whole occupation, the whole protest that was going on there. And he confirmed that Mark McConnell is 100% an informant, I can't remember the exact word. We used some letters they use. I think CHS. But anyway, they confirmed that again today. Yes. There was also confirmed that two FBI agents went to the refuge there during the occupations undercover. And he knows at least nine informants were at the refuge, but he really doesn't know the exact number, but he knows at least nine or more were at the refuge. So that just kind of confirms this, what we heard in the first trial just got confirmed again by the head of the FBI out of Oregon.
Interesting.
So we're going to be back in listening to the witnesses again tomorrow. We only got this one witness today, and we didn't even finish up with him today, so he'll be about 8:30 tomorrow. We'll be hearing from him again. And so that's kind of – Nevada didn't have court today. They're out all week this week, so there's no court over there. And so we don't have really any updates from Nevada, but just we're back in it. We feel like we hit a home run today here in Oregon, and we feel very good about how things are starting and how it's already started out. So we're feeling good about it. We're all excited.
It does sound pretty good. So far, so good. And then was there still some other observers there as well?
There was. It was we have an overflow room, so the courtroom is packed out. And there was at least a half a dozen in the main courtroom with me that was taking notes. And there was more than that that was in the courtroom that were not taking notes. But there was at least a half a dozen actually that are good court observers. They took notes during the first trial, so they do excellent with that. They were there. And then we have an overflow room that's a couple of stories above us. And I was told there was another 30, 35 people in that room. So we was pleased with the first day of opening arguments. We had a good crowd. We even had people show up that was from Texas today. One lady came through and just wanted to stop for just a little while when they was traveling through that's following the case. Another patriot. So that was pretty awesome to see them.
That's great news. Excellent activism. Great work. That sounds, so far so good. Did the judge behave herself? Who is it? Is it Judge
Judge Anna Brown. Brown. She actually did pretty well today. Her eyes, I think, have been open to this case. And we had objections on both sides on different subjects today, on videos being watched or a picture being shown. And she, I felt that she judged fairly well, even if there was a couple of incidents that I did not agree with. I wish she had let the defense show the pictures, and she was doing the same way even to the prosecutor. She didn't let the prosecutor play several videos that he wanted to play, and that the defense team objected to. So she was fair today. I got to say that. One interesting thing that happened today is Neil Wampler. He was one of the first defendants that got found not guilty back in October, and he was there today observing and showing support for these defendants. And right as the jurors walked out, and before the judge had not dismissed this yet, but she had just dismissed the jurors, he all of a sudden surprised us, and he jumped up and was standing in the middle of the courtroom for just a couple of probably a full 60 seconds there. He says, Miss Brown, it's me, Neil Wampler, I'm back. He goes like that. And she stops and looks at him, and he says, you remember me, Miss Brown? He goes like, he didn't call her judge. He said, Miss Brown. He says, I'm back, it's Neil Wampler. And she goes, hi, Neil, like that. And everybody's quiet in the whole courtroom. He says, I was found not guilty back in October, and you still haven't given my stuff back. All the stuff that the FBI took from me, they haven't given it back to me. When am I going to get it back? And she's taken off guard by it, you can tell. And she goes, I have no control over that. You'll have to talk to the marshals or the FBI. And she hurries up and gets off the bench and leaves the room.
Oh, really? That's very interesting. Yes. That scares me. Scared her right off the bench, huh?
She was. Wow. She almost turned like white. She was shocked that he was talking, and she hurries out of the room and just leaves. So, but that
she doesn't like it. Yeah, that's funny. They don't like it when that evidence of property theft and property crime on the part of the federal agencies, it's clear they're the biggest thieves and biggest criminals there are. I mean, they're proving it every day. Look, they haven't given the guy his stuff back. And by the way, that judge could easily issue an order from the bench, property to be returned. Absolutely. So I sound like you're about the best deal you're going to get out of the witch's court today. Not too bad. Could have been a lot worse. You certainly did excellent work, John. We thank you so much.
Well, thanks for having me on. I can have you some more updates tomorrow if you need me. Just give me a call or whatever, and I'll tell you, tomorrow's going to be another big, long day, and we got several witnesses coming in, so it'll be a it's going to be an interesting day tomorrow for sure.
Yeah, and you thought the people who were representing themselves did a pretty good job on their opening statements?
They did. Jason Patrick did awesome. He is he really is doing good. You know, he's had a little over a year to prepare for this, and you know, it's a stressful moment to be doing that, you know, for anybody. And he's really came a long way in the last year. He's doing well.
Okay, good. Sounds good, John. Can we have an update from you tomorrow, possibly?
Yes, that'd be excellent. Yeah, give me a ring or however, and I'll be available. I'll give you another update.
Very good. This is very valuable. I would hope that our listeners right now would really appreciate your presence. And now, how do people find you? Just type in John Lamb Reporter on your search engine. That should get you there, right?
Yes, John Lamb, mainly on Facebook. I have a YouTube channel, too, that I don't use too often. I have a few things on there, but it's both of them under John Lamb, just my name, just J-O-H-N-L-A-M-B. And they can find me on Facebook there. And today I did a live stream at lunch during the noon hour, update everybody there. So every day I try to at least do one from the courthouse and let everybody know what's going on at the moment right there on the ground.
That is fantastic. Now, is there any way you can upload that to YouTube, or is that going to take valuable time that you don't have right now?
No, we're working on that. I'm getting a few of them, and I'm new at YouTube, so we are getting those slowly upgraded there. I have a few of them already on there, and if they go there, I know we got a bigger one on there right now. It's just one I did up back for LaVoy Finicum's, it says in memory of LaVoy Finicum, and yep. I've got that one on there, and I've got three or four others, but yeah, go on. If they can find me on YouTube, that'd be awesome, and I'll be having a lot more in the near future here in the next few days on YouTube.
Excellent. Yeah, because I know some of our listeners may not be on Facebook, and I'm not sure if you have to have an account to get on over to Facebook, but so the more we can get you out there, the better. I'm going to try to get your stuff posted up at our site as well. My webmaster has been busy with another job working every day, so it's been tough to get things posted, but I'll see if maybe we can get you the posting ability where you can throw it up on our site as well for daily updates on the courtroomwatch.org. But we've had some technical difficulties over there, and but I want to see if we can at least get your stuff up there out to as many venues as possible. So excellent.
That'd
work, John. Thank you for being with us. We'll look forward to talking to you tomorrow night. Thanks again, John Lamb. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Okay, have a good day, and God bless.
You too. We'll be right back after this break. This is Eric, the Freedom Screamer, sitting in for Tom and Lori on the RBN Network.
Let me tell you how it's gonna work, kids. You work hard like your parents both did. Everything you earn by breaking your backs, we're gonna redistribute when we make our big tax. Hey, sit back down, don't be a jerk.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech. Quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
PatriotPrepared.com carries the leading brands of storable food from Numana, Legacy, and Heaven's Harvest. Patriot Prepared. Our name says it all. We're dedicated to empowering you to be self-reliant and confident in any circumstance. Whether you want to be prepared in the event of an emergency or you're an outdoor sports enthusiast, PatriotPrepared.com has prepackaged meals and kits for your entire family. Legacy, Heaven's Harvest, and Numana are known for high-quality, great-tasting, GMO-free, nutritious food with no chemical preservatives. Simple to prepare, easy to store, gluten-free and organic high-quality nutrition options with a 25-year shelf life. You can't beat the feeling of being food secure when you need it most. So go to PatriotPrepared.com right now to pick up your supply of high-quality storable food for your family, because it makes good sense to be prepared. That's PatriotPrepared.com.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN, and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's NumanaRepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
Mother of the moon, which built my sails, cross the sea of years. With no provisions, but in no basis, oh, the straits of fear.
Welcome back, my friends. Welcome back to Resurrect the Republic. This is Eric, the Freedom Screamer, sitting in for Tom and Lori. We were trying to get a hold of Lori tonight, hoping she would be here, but we're not sure. Lori might be having technical difficulties. I know Lori's had problems with her phone service and internet service being jammed up. She gets messages and texts several days late. They're really trying to interfere with Lori. I know last night we had a pretty hard-hitting show on this broadcast, and right at a crucial time, my call into the or the board's call out to me, my line to the show got cut, and then when I called back in, it happened again. Finally, we got myself back on the air, but it just goes to show you that we are right on track here. When you see this type of overt technical and electronic interference, you know you're listening to the real deal. They don't seem to go after the milquetoast, you know, kind of toe the party line, you know, turn it all over to the lawyers crowd. And that's all I see is attorneys infesting this new administration, and it's not very pretty. A lot of people seem to think we just need to have everybody in the government be a member of this private organization called the Bar, and somehow that's going to benefit freedom. I don't know how that's going to happen. So once again, thank you for joining us on Resurrect the Republic.
This is Eric sitting in. I guess Lori's not going to be with us tonight. So I'd like to read just a little while out of the plutonium files. And this is where the real tyranny is. It's in the witch's court, and it's in the medical establishment, what I would call the medical industrial establishment. It's the most insidious, deeply secretive, full of money being pumped into it, and to the point of obsession and obsessive behavior on the part of the government and the professors in the medical industrial establishment. That's where the real end game always winds up there, because if they can get people into the medical establishment, into the medical system, get a health care plan where everybody's accounted for and all your health records are accessible to, you know, administrators who do not have your best interest at heart. It's the medical industrial complex that's just as much, if not more, dangerous. The military industrial complex is the muscle and is the force. But the ultimate goal was always, and the Nazis showed this in World War II, the United States corporate government is exhibiting it right up to this day, ever since the late 1940s, when the first atomic weapons were used, first testing, of course, development and testing. And then, of course, the use of the atomic weapons. And since then, the globalists have been fascinated with radiation. They are obsessed with radiation and the effects, because it's a silent killer. Recently, if I'm not mistaken, supposedly, I don't know if this is true or not, but that recent diplomat, Russian diplomat, was killed by radiation poisoning. You know, intentionally, somebody put the polonium or plutonium into his food or beverage, and it only takes a couple of nanoparticles of radiation to really damage the human body irreparably in many cases. So I'll probably start here. Let me see where we want to start here. Bear with me, folks. Yeah, oh, I'm sorry. Do we have a call? Betty, I think, is on the line. Let's definitely go to our caller first, and I can read this later. Betty, are you with us?
I sure am. I just have a couple questions, just easy ones. Sure. I know there's six people on trial, and you're talking about four. What happens with the other two?
You got me on that one. We're going to ask, what, can we save that question for John's?
Yeah, and then the other one, the other question is, you know, did anybody put in that letter to the clerk of the court on using recording devices like your phone in the room?
A whole bunch of people did, and the letter's pretty tight. It's very simple, and it cites federal court case precedent in that circuit, and they're still dishonoring the right to video record, and they're pulling. It's one of two things or both. It's their judicial procedure law that they make up right out of thin air, they make up a state statute, and they pass it and say, you know, there won't be, and then they just dishonor any federal court. The only recourse is you have to go back and sue later for the right for that for your right.
Even as
a member of public, it could be as a reporter, as a general member of the public, or somebody on behalf of the accused, because they have every right to a public trial. And part of having a public trial is having the video feed being sent out live stream. But the government is the witch's court, the police state is, they're so afraid of cameras. Worse than they're more afraid of cameras than they are of guns, and they're proving it. I think they did the best they could on that, Betty, and sometimes
one
the witch's
last.
Court. Yeah.
Yeah, one last one. Is it also true that this judge say that they were not to tell the jurors that they are to judge the law as well as the facts?
I don't think the judge gave any instructions that were that's called what you just described as jury nullification.
Well, it was reported that they did when they were choosing the jurors.
gave instructions for jury nullification or against it?
Against it. The judge was not going to tolerate.
Yeah, that's
that.
What I thought. Yeah, I agree with that. That's what I believe. That's what I thought I heard as well. The reports were that the judge, during the instructions, said, you know, we're not going to have any talk about jury nullification at this trial. I think she basically warned the pro se and pro per, the people representing themselves, warning them that they should not bring up jury nullification specifically. But of course, they can definitely, you know,
do it.
You know, that's in a way that shows that they did nothing wrong, even if they're being accused of breaking a statute, you know. So hopefully they can get the concept across without saying it. And this is why being out front, I'm such a stickler about getting people out through the county courthouse on jury selection day and handing out jury nullification flyers. It's the single best thing you can do. You can get everybody in the jury pool educated with just one morning's worth of work for maybe less than an hour it takes.
Hey, will you also give the telephone number for people to call in to the court tonight, as well as you've done in the past? You do everything so well.
Well, thank you, Betty. I appreciate that. I'm barely able to keep up, actually, and we'll talk about that later. But I thank you for that. Those are kind words, and I will. I think calling the court isn't going to do. I think if we have to choose one entity to call right now, we were calling the sheriff because he was holding Tom. And, of course, the vicar general and the judicial vicar, Peter Smith and Patrick Brennan at the diocese, because they're the men behind the court. They're the real power. They're the ones that the highest level of the bar answers to. They're the unsaid bosses of the court and your local legislators, your local attorneys, all the bar members, everyone who has anything to do with passing or enforcing the law is answering to the judicial vicar or the vicar general. And I don't mean on every case. Or, you know, every time they turn around, they're getting permission to do anything. But there's general policy that's issued and protocol and judicial procedure law, which isn't law at all. Judicial procedure law is irrelevant. That's what they're using here in New York as well to deny cameras in the courtroom. You bring up, you say, hey, look, we have a First Amendment right to film these matters. This is public property. There's no rape or there's no children involved. And I could see maybe closing the doors and saying no cameras. If it's a sex crime or if it's, you know, child abuse or something, there could be a few extenuating circumstances, but not just willy-nilly because it's a political case and the court knows they got guilty conscience. The court is showing what's called a presence of guilty mind, is what the judge has and the state attorney is. They all know they're guilty. They all know they're politically persecuting people. They all know deep down inside they're hardcore communists. They're hardcore globalists, and not globalists in a good way, where it's being worldly and having diplomacy and international relations and trade. That's good. I mean, that's if you're defining globalism as that, okay, fine. I'm talking about the negative globalism that's pervasive and being exercised at the corporate level and then using the military-industrial complex to just run roughshod over the entire world, gathering up as many resources as we can get. And that's really what it comes down to. It's the corporate grab for resources, and it's the domination over people so they don't ever wake up like we are here on Resurrect the Republic. So any other comments, Betty?
No, I just thought you might want to give out that number again.
I will. I'm going to do that right now. So the number I would call instead of the vicar, I'll give you both the vicar, the vicars, and the attorney general.
I'm going to hang up.
Thanks, Betty.
Okay,
the number
bye.
To call the attorney general, Jeff Sessions, and this is why I waited till he was confirmed and in office before we did kind of a phone blitz on him and his office, because we were pretty much spitting into the wind with the last administration. I mean, they were just immovably tyrannical. At least we got lip service with this new administration. Of course, we're seeing more of the same. Tom is still languishing in jail. The federal government is still prosecuting this ridiculous claim that Tom being in a hotel room with a gun nearby is somehow possession and somehow makes him a danger, where he's got to be brought into court in shackles. That's insane. So we continue to call the U.S. Attorney General at 202-514-2000. This is on behalf of Tom LaCovara. He's the host of this show, typically. But right now I'm sitting in, or Laurie Anderson. You've all heard Laurie Anderson, or new listeners may not have. My name is Eric, and I'm sitting in for both of them Lori is out tonight, and Tom is locked up. Tom's ID number is 392-3405. Once again, Tom's inmate ID number is 392-3405. 392-3405. And the number for the Attorney General is 202-514-2000. What do you say when you call? May I have the Director of Scheduling, please? Ask the Director of Scheduling to schedule a call back from one of Sessions' aides. We need to make them very busy calling us back so they know that we're all together and patriots, and, you know, we're not going to stand for these absurd cases moving forward. Granted, there's a limit to what they can do in the state cases in Nevada, because I believe that's state court, but the federal, it's federal in Oregon, and Tom's charge is federal, of course, so we want specifically Tom LaCavara, and, of course, all the other patriots that are being held or dragged into the court along with him in these absurd claims that somehow, you know, society, the federal government's a victim because these people are exercising their liberties. And, you know, and somehow patriot equals terrorist, which is absurd. So the vicar's number, if you want to call the judicial vicar, they have ultimately, they're more powerful than our corporate government. That's when push comes to shove. The bishops and the vicars and the bishops supersede the congressmen and the senators. That's just the way it is. I've watched it throughout all kinds of court cases, especially in New York, but across the nation as well. The vicar's number is 503-234-5334. That's 503-234-5334. The Vicar General is Mr. Smith. The Judicial Vicar is Patrick Brennan. Peter Smith's the Vicar General, and Pat Brennan's the Judicial Vicar. And don't let them tell you they're just vicaring over their church. They're vicaring over the courts, and the surrogate courts in New York are appointing everything to the Vicar General's offices, entities, and agencies. Watched it happen. I can prove it out. But I've done that before. We'll do that again in the future. But we need people to call the Attorney General at 202-514-2000 and the Vicars at 503-234-5334. It's important that we don't forget about Tom. He's languishing right now, and here we are. We're all struggling right now. Try to keep the word going forward. Keep the activism alive. Encourage people to make the phone calls. Let you know your voice does matter. Educate you that society cannot be a victim. Then you can educate the people at the vicar's office and the Justice Department. Hey, let Tom go. Society cannot be a victim. He didn't hurt anybody. You can't claim the state is a victim. Put Mr. Joe State or whoever, put Mr. State on the stand to let him testify. Put Mrs. Society on the stand. If society's a victim, okay, if the federal corporation's a victim, put them on the stand. Who is actually claiming that Tom did them harm, and it's no one? Clive and Bundy harmed no one. All these people going up in front of these absurd witches tribunals, which are nothing more than militarized ecclesiastic law, because we're all a fiduciary instrument being managed by the vicars and the Vatican London banking establishment. And there's no difference between the Church of Rome in the Church of London right now. The Oxford movement in 1833 began to introduce to merge the two churches, the Anglican Church and the Church of Rome, into ultimately one. And we're way beyond the point where they merged. It's in place, well in place, and managed by the vicars, V-I-C-A-R. And the dictionary definition of the vicar general is a religion, a priest or a lay person, or layman. It's never a woman. It's always a man. Priest or layman of a religious corporation who is responsible for appropriating the principal revenues. That means taking your money through the bar association and the attorneys. That means taking your money through property taxes and performance and payment bonds on every single case that goes through court, even the small traffic cases. So they're making all kinds of money in our trade name. That's why it's in all capital letters. That's your trade name. And the government, the courts, and the vicar's office are making beyond hundreds of millions of dollars. That would be in a short period of time. Enormous amounts of money in our names and on our names. So once again, the vicar's number is 503-234-5334. We're calling on behalf of Tom. Don't forget, keep the phone calls coming. Tell them Tom is still locked up. We're still, the public has not forgotten about him. And the people who are involved in this chain of custody and adjudication are not going to get away with it. They're going to have to be indicted by a common law grand jury of the people, which is our last resort. This is how the Magna Carta was founded. It wasn't founded based on some other, they came up with it. And they said, all right, we have concepts of freedom. Let's put it in writing and present it to our overlords and let them know that, you know, they can have, it can be go easy or it can go hard. The people always have the power if they choose to exercise it. And I mean power in a good way. I don't mean dictatorial, tyrannical power. I mean the power to stop the atrocities that are being committed by the courts and the legislators, because they're the ones passing the laws. But ultimately, don't forget, every single one of those lawmakers in those state legislature, all of the judges, all the attorneys, and all the defense attorneys, they're all members of the bar, a private club. They have an esquire next to their name. That means they're loyal to the crown. A squire, that's an English thing. That's not an American thing, I can assure you. Do we still have Betty? And if anybody wants to call. Okay, our friend in Pennsylvania. Go ahead, my friend. How are you? Is it Fred?
I'm not doing that well, Eric. But I don't take it the wrong way, but I want to question this verb that you just said in that sentence of the vicars are in charge of appropriating means to spend, not means to pull in. But the verb appropriating means to give out money.
Right.
Give out.
No, I got you.
Revenues.
Believe me, I can explain how they're pulling it in. And if you just go into a surrogate courtroom in New York, anywhere in the state, you will see the court ruling that one of the vicar generals, either Catholic Charities or Catholic Family Center, gets everything. I had a guy call me and say his Social Security settlement got directed from the court to Catholic Family Center, and he couldn't get his money until I told him to call the vicar. So they do pull it in, but you're right.
Yeah, I know they pull it in. Yeah, I know they pull it in. I know someone, I'm not going to go into it, but the person really in New York State had a terrible time. But still, if the law says that they're in charge of appropriating the principal revenue, then that's just as important as the fact that they are pulling in things that could be called the principal revenue. If it says they're appropriating, means they're putting out, and that might mean that they just have charge of anything that they decide to spend it on, whether it's their own organization or whether it's a hedge fund or a sovereign wealth fund. That I'm not contradicting you, but I'm saying there's another half of that as well. If you look at that verb.
Yep. And I'm actually more, as much if not more, interested in the judicial vicar. But anyway, here it is, right here in the American Heritage Ecclesiastic, that usually lay official who assists an archbishop or bishop in administrative and judicial duties.
Mm-hmm.
Now, just to confirm that, one of our courtroom observers in Tennessee was told by the vicar general, oh, you don't want to talk to me. I'm just the vicar general. You want to talk to the archbishop. He controls all the legal and legislative issues. He came right out and admitted it. So these guys believe this is where the power is.
Right.
Yeah, they're in charge with folks collecting.
There's someone who's administering it, and there's someone who's in charge of him.
Well, absolutely. There's the ladder goes up through the cardinal and off into Rome. Yeah. But it's going to be very difficult for you to get a schedule, a callback from somebody in Rome, or get through, or actually even get connected. You have your local vicar generals are much more accessible. They usually have their own church in the diocese. They can be, spoken with. You can get them messages. They're local. They're your closest hands-on manager of the shadow government. They're the lowest level. I would agree. It goes up way up the chain of command beyond them. But this is so, where to start. If you want to people with the power. Go ahead.
Right. You just gave three adjectives that actually tell you're actually on target, Eric, because you gave three adjectives that cover everything in government: administrative, judicial, and then the other was administrative, in talking about the archbishop's duties, administrative, yeah, and legislative. So what is it they don't control is
exactly
the question.
That's exactly my point. And let's pull the curtain back and look behind it. If they hide in plain sight is what they do. And once again, through the policies of the bar and the courts and the enforcement mechanism of the court, and of course the police, they've got a nice little scam set up, and they don't like being exposed. So the phone calls to the vicars do help. I'm not saying they're necessarily our friend and they're going to want to help us, but once you start exposing them, they get real squirmy, and they don't like that light of day being shined on what they're doing, which is basically pulling the strings of all this stuff that comes down the pike with these crazy, insane laws, like how big your drink can be, and how long your grass can be, and all this other stuff. This doesn't really come from American people. This comes from internationalists and globalists overseas. This is a Vatican thing. This is a one world government, new world order through UN Agenda 21 thing. So it's not, when people say it goes to the, and I'm not saying you're saying this, but people will kind of counter us and say, well, it's a liberal thing. It's the left. It's not. It goes beyond that. This is an internationalist thing, and the vicars are really the local, hands-on representative manager of your courts and bar association and attorneys and lawmakers for the Vatican and the Church of England. And that's a conclusion I've come to through a lot of observing.
Yeah.
So thank you, Fred.
I want to talk about the word vicar or vicary. Is that a word too? Vicary? Like an archdiocese or something like that?
There's several of them. There's the word vic, V-I-C, which is an abbreviation for vicar, and that's the old expression, pay the vic. That goes back to the old mob days. They all said, you got to pay the vic, and the vic is the vicar general, and everybody had to give their tithe to the church through some organization, usually, that launders the money, so it's not too obvious that they're running our show. And then that, so it's the word vic is the first one, the abbreviation, then vicar, V-I-C-A-R. In the Church of England, the priest of the parish who receives a stipend or salary from a layman or religious corporation responsible for appropriating the principal revenues. We'll get back to that in a second after the top of the hour. Stay with us, Fred. Hey, thanks for joining us.
Okay.
Stay with us for the next hour, my friends. This is Eric, the Freedom Screamer, sitting in for Tom and Lori on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Hang in there. We'll be right back.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and, of course, you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage,
highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high-fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's NumanaRepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.